And for the next hour, you're in Finland. And there is a lot going on in the world, but I got to start with the Final Four. So I'm not going to say too much about basketball. I love college basketball, but I have to say that I definitely have a horse in this race right now, and it is the Georgetown Hoyas. And I got to tell you that, you know, until I moved to this area, I was not a Georgetown fan. I respect what they accomplished, but I used to teach at the University of Kentucky. So I'm an SEC fan. I'm a Kentucky fan. And from where I sat there and when I lived in New Jersey, I always thought that Georgetown, I believe that line that they played the soft schedule in December and it sometimes hurt them. And so they were never quite as good as they looked a lot of times. And I'm only saying this to say that I'm not somebody that's a patsy for Georgetown and would say that I think they can go all the way just because I'm a fan. I think they can go all the way. I think that there's, you know, obviously there's four tough teams left, but Georgetown, they show such flashes of brilliance and can be so dominant that they can hang with any team in this tournament, including these Final Four. So they are as good a shot of anybody is winning it next Monday night, which reminds me, I'm not going to do my show next Monday night because there'll be a best of show on, but it'll be the Final Four game will be on. And in honor of the whole history of college basketball, I'm taking the night off. Anyway, let me start here with, boy, there's been a lot of news this week. Does it just seem like me, or are those cable news networks just filling up the hours with stuff and making me watch it? I don't know. But actually, there was a lot going on. Let's start with Elizabeth Edwards, because this story has developed pretty amazingly. So they announced the end of last week. It wasn't until Wednesday, was it, that Elizabeth Edwards announced she had cancer, a recurrence of her cancer. And I'm watching the TV shows that night, and the press already goes to past the human story. Oh, isn't this, it's very dramatic, and they handle it very well with grace and everything, and they're courageous. And how do you think it'll affect the campaign? Now, I knew, you know, it's going to get to that. But what's interesting is how quickly it gets to that. And then how quickly people will come back, you know, apologize, but say, look, we got to look at the reality of it. Now, Katie Couric has been criticized because on 60 Minutes yesterday, she asked some very pointed questions about whether this was the right decision, whether it's for the children, or if you have limited time, shouldn't you spend it together, whatever the logic is. And so she's been criticized today for being too tough in that kind of an interview, right? You're dealing with a couple that's dealing with a lot of loss. But, you know, the Edwards were just very frank about defending what they're doing. So I'm going to deal with the media part of it first, but then I'm going to deal really with the heart of the story. So, you know, you can look at this story from the human side, from the gracefulness that they show when they do something like this, or you can go right to the other side of it, the politics. And there's such a tendency in our culture to go right to the politics. Part of it is got to beat the other guy. And so I call it the Super Bowl interview, right? Or basically the final interview. The final interview of the season. The people have finally reached the pinnacle of their career, whether it's the NCAA tournament, the Super Bowl, the World Series, NBA championship, you name it, Stanley Cup. Whatever it is, when people reach that level, what the announcer always says is, well, how'd you do it? How'd it go? Everybody look good. They answer those questions, and then one of the announcers can't resist and says, okay, coach, well, now next year, you're going to be here next year, and expecting a guy who's just been basking in the glory of a year's pursuit of this victory, been basking in it for 10 minutes maybe, and you want to know about next year. But that's the tendency in the media to always got to get the next thing in and be looking over the hill. And if people are anticipating this, we're going to anticipate one further and show them that we're ahead of the game. Otherwise, why do they need us here? So what you get with the Edwards is everybody says, oh, it was so well handled and they're so courageous. Now, how do you think it'll affect the campaign? So I'm of two minds about this. One is that is inevitable. You can't do anything about that. You know, we like to think that the individual matters, and they do, up to a point. But ultimately, it's society that goes on. So whether we're talking a star in politics or we're talking a star in Hollywood or in sports, the sport goes on, Hollywood goes on, politics goes on, okay? The individuals aren't indispensable. And so we have a tragedy in sports. Who was it? I can't remember the name of the golfer whose Cessna plane wandered across the United States because they were all knocked out and presumed dead until it crashed. I'll think of his name. I can't believe I can't think of it. But, you know, he was this huge star in golf, and we lose him. And, of course, the sport goes on. They mark his passing with a little bit smaller ceremony every year kind of a thing. You know, that's just the way it is. So it shouldn't surprise us this happens. But back to the human side of it, what's interesting for me as somebody who has, you know, been a student of mass media is that what we say is that television is good at getting across emotion. And so both radio and television, the idea is that there's more raw emotion in the conversation or in the drama that's drawn than you get in print or something. The logic being that you're plugging in your auditory sense in the case of radio and audio and video in the case of film or television. But we've always assumed that those are more powerful, but also what we found is they convey raw emotion pretty well. They convey conflict well, whether it's talking heads or sports. And it conveys simple ideas well. It doesn't convey complex ideas well. Right? Simple ideas you can get across, black and white ideas, but also emotion. And that's why we've had some presidents, and Reagan and Clinton come to mind, who used the microphone and the television camera extremely well. They're relaxed and conversational, and they can touch people through the media. So what we argue is that it's the human story, it's the drama, it's the ability of television and radio to tell the human story that gives it its power. And yet, when we get a powerful story, like the Edwardses and her reoccurrence of breast cancer, we don't, what's the right word for it? We don't absorb it. We don't stay with it. We don't let it last one news cycle so we can discuss what it means. We jump right to the politics. So let's back up a little and talk about what this means. And let's forget that John Edwards is a Democrat. This is not about helping Edwards' campaign. And you don't have to be a friend of John Edwards or friendly towards Democrats or liberals to have compassion for their situation. I heard an interview with Laura Ingraham, conservative talk show host, on Greta Van Susteren's show. Yes, I'm sorry to say I was watching Greta at 10 p.m. the night that this news broke. And the insight, of course, that Laura Ingraham has is that she has had breast cancer. So she's been through a trauma like this. Now, what's amazing about the Edwards is she has had breast cancer. We know this. But they also lost a child a few years ago. And I can't imagine anything worse than this. I don't know if you know anyone that's lost a child, but what I remember when it happened to the Barretts, friends of our family, John Barrett died in a small plane crash. He was piloting it himself, and he was their second oldest son, a family of eight, as we were. And I remember my mom saying after it happened, and what a terrible thing it is for Hilda and Jerry and their kids to go through. The loss of one of your children is a tragedy it's the ultimate tragedy for a parent. And so we always assume that our kids should die before us, and it seems so unfair. I'm sorry, that the parents should die before the kids. It seems unfair that our child should die before the parent. And so when it happens, it really shakes people up. And you come through it, if you have the strength, you come through it even stronger. And what one of the things that John Edwards is showing is that he has this strength of character. And that's been part of his narrative before, but I don't ever remember a presidential election. There may be one back in history where anything as dramatic as this surfaced in the middle of someone's story. I mean, I guess you could say a bombshell. I mean, this is kind of neutral, but I'm thinking something, you know, I suppose things like disclosures of a scandal have happened. But I mean, just something like this that nature inflicts or inserts into a campaign. So one of the interesting things about how the Edwards have reacted is, of course, they did react gracefully that first night, and they're dealing with a tremendous amount. You know, she has stage 4 breast cancer now, essentially, and it spread into the bone. Now, they didn't say how serious that is. We all know bone cancer is extremely serious, but even stage 4 breast cancer, there is a way to maintain for a certain number of years, and I don't even want to try and guess what that is at this point, but I also know it can take you quickly. So I'm not sure that she's guaranteed any certain amount of time, but this is how she's chosen to spend it. They're going to continue to campaign. And an interesting happened. You know, I'm of two minds about it, but back to the media for a minute. An interesting thing, I'm not going to talk about the media anymore. I canceled that. I'm going to stay with John Edwards and Teresa Edwards' story here. I mean, Elizabeth Edwards. Sorry, I'm back in the last election. And what's interesting is that this was part of his narrative before, but now there's a whole nother layer on this, and she's out campaigning as a woman with cancer, you know, I mean, fighting life-threatening cancer. And so Elizabeth Edwards drew a standing ovation today at her first stop, which was just a stop that had been planned already. And she had a really interesting message because she thanked them for being there and all. But she basically said this, you know, it at times like these, you take a look at your life and you think, what's really important to me and what do I want to accomplish? And we don't think of it as, I've got a whole lifetime to do it. We think of it as, you know, there's a certain amount of days left for any of us. And so make the most of it. You know, we always say, someone has a brush with death. You know someone that has had a brush with death, right? And we always say about that person, or what that person always says about themselves is, my life shifted. It's changed. Everything's different. I wake up alive. I want to live each day. I'm pursuing my dream. Well, why are we in neutral if we haven't had a brush with death? Her point today was, I'm the one having, she doesn't say it quite like this, of course, but she said, I'm the one having the brush with death. But by you all sharing it with me and us carrying on this campaign, if I can spread a sense of urgency, if we can get a sense of urgency in this country that each of us only has a certain number of days, and if we want to make a difference, we should make a difference. She wasn't just saying vote for John Edwards and support the campaign. She was saying go out into your neighborhoods and make a difference. There are things you can do. You know you can do them. There are things that need to be done, and go out and do them. Now, I'm embellishing that slightly, but I thought she was great today. And the reward is she's great on the campaign trail. I haven't paid that much attention to the Edwards campaign. The other reason I don't mind spending time here making people, I mean, people, some people may think this is a plug of sorts, but in fact, I think Edwards has probably no chance to win the presidency. We aren't going to elect him because of any particular situation. He's got to be seen as the guy to lead us. And while he's impressing me more with his courage, and his point here in part is also the subtext is that he's proved that he can perform in a crisis, right? He is dealing with adversity and coming through it with flying colors and still being able to function. He's articulate and yet affected by it all. And so Edward's stock has clearly gone up, but that doesn't make you president. I don't think he's ever had a realistic shot at being president. And I just think that this campaign, however, can do quite a bit of good, depending on what direction the Edwardses shine the light, if he doesn't, in fact, win the nomination and become president, which I think would be a tremendous long shot. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But I guess I do want to go back to the media for a minute. And that is because there was another narrative that I heard expressed, and that was about Edwards' ambition. I guess Katie Couric asked him about this, perhaps. But I heard one pundit put it in terms of ambition, and saying basically, well, there's nothing wrong with having ambition. If you have presidential ambition, you should go for it. You know. Now, the Edwardses prefer to put it in terms of, we want to make a difference, and we think this is the best way to make a difference, so this is what we're going to keep doing. Obviously, everybody, a Democrat's difference is a Republican's, oh, no, help me out here. So we'll have to see how this plays out. But I just thought it was interesting that there are all these calculations immediately in the media. And I keep coming back to the notion that this is a family struggling with a tremendous burden. You know, she's looking at her mortality. He's looking at losing her. You know, I've fortunately have not been through that with a spouse or my mate, but I know plenty of people that have, and I've lost friends whose mates are still here who went through this whole process. And it takes guts and it takes commitment in the relationship to make it work. And there's tears and there's joy. And the Edwardses aren't going to let us see the tears most of the time. Those are going to be behind closed doors. But they are going to let us see some of the joy, and it's going to be a very interesting dynamic in this race, because now healthcare conversations change and a whole variety of things change. It's going to be interesting to see. In any case, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this little bitty mess that we got in Washington. We got a mess in Iraq, and we got a mess in a couple other places around the world.